about something this morning that I've never spoken about from a message standpoint, but I've suffered with all my life. And I think everyone in here, to some degree or another, battles insecurity. And then we have a PowerPoint. Oh, that lady, poor thing. She looks really insecure, doesn't she? Insecurity is not a respecter of persons. It's not just weak people who are insecure. In fact, many people that you would think would be the strongest people in the world, if you really saw behind the veil, you would see that they're insecure. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but I was really hesitant to speak on this. And when I was praying over, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak? Because I had, as I shared with you last Sunday, this whole wonderful series with an acrostic and seven messages, and I had a message for each letter, and then I couldn't get a message for the letter N. And then when I was just struggling over that, finally I felt the Lord just speak to my heart, what in the world are you doing? So I'm not telling you to do that. Oh, okay. But it was going to be so great, Lord. Everyone was going to be marveling. I could make t-shirts over it, and we could have banners about it, you know, and everyone would go, boy, ew, look at the acrostic that guy made. Wow. No, it's not about that. So I shared my heart with you about the main thing last week. That'll be on the podcast soon. And then I was praying, okay, now, Lord, you took away my coveted acrostic. And what do you want me to share? And I felt this whisper in my thoughts, insecurity. And I thought, insecurity? I don't even know any scriptures on insecurity. I started thinking about scriptures I could quote about insecurity, and I Googled. I said, I'm not finding anything, Lord. And I said, okay, something else, Lord. Give me something else to share on Sunday. And so I prayed again, and I just heard this insecurity. And I said, well, Lord, when I feel the Lord continually speaking to me, then I learn to say yes and just say, okay, now show me what you want me to say about that. And I felt the Holy Spirit again just prompt a thought in my heart. I've already given you the text. You've already read it this week, and you even wrote about it. So basically, what's keeping you? Follow me in your notes. I want to just introduce you to the battle we have for insecurity. First of all, I want to just talk about the fact that God has called for our lives. He's given us a call both corporately and individually. So we all have a call corporately and individually in our lives. And we looked at this last week. Mark 16, 15 to 18 says, Jesus said, so wherever you go into the world, tell everyone the good news. I'm just going to stop there. That's our call. We talked about the main thing is to proclaim the gospel to those who don't know Jesus. Really, that's what we're all in this ship, this gospel ship, about. It's not about us. We've been bought with a price. We've been given a call and commission. We've been sent out into the world to proclaim and tell other people about Jesus. Hebrews tells us very clearly, this world is not our home. We forsake the comforts just of this world so that we can go ahead and push forward into the pathway to our new home, which is in heaven. Not that we don't take care of the things here, not that we don't love our children, not that we don't have nice homes, not that we don't enjoy life, but we know that we have a greater call than just to accumulate and one day die. Isn't that a sad thing if that's all our life is? If we just accumulate, 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 and then we die. Actually, it kind of works like a bell curve. We accumulate, and then we start to divest, 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 and then we die. And if that's all life is, bummer. Because I'm on the sliding downside of that bell curve. But I thank God that I am eternal as I speak to you this morning. That my life is not just X number of years ahead of me. My life goes beyond that line. That bell curve doesn't stop. It's like a roller coaster, man. I shoot out into a new trajectory and a new purpose. You and I have an eternal call and an eternal purpose in our lives. Each one of you individually then has a subset in that you have a personal call in your life. Now, this is not a sermon to enlist you to do something in the church. This is a sermon just to tell you that you have a calling of God and a purpose and a worth. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11 says, and this is from the God's Word translation. That's what I'm reading from this morning. It says this, thank you. It says, the end of everything is near. Therefore, practice self-control. That's a good word for the year, isn't it? And keep your minds clear so you can pray. Above all, love each other warmly, because love covers many sins. Welcome each other as guests without complaining. Now, each of you should be a good manager and use the gift that God has given you to serve others. So everyone here has been given gifts and has been given a calling and has been given an eternal purpose that is taking place right now, and God is telling us to be good managers about it. Now, we all know the parable of the talents. I don't want to be the guy who hid the coin in the napkin and buried it in the ground. It's not whether I have 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent or 1/2 talent. It's what I do with the 1, 2, or 5 that I have. And that I live for Jesus and I live for the Lord in his purposes and his kingdom now. Now, the enemy, B, always tries to keep us from fulfilling this call through insecurity. I asked myself this question and I said, Lord, why are you putting that word on my heart? And I realized that many times a new year starts, and whenever a new year starts, we all start thinking about things we'd like to change. It's just part of the whole thing about New Year. You'll notice that they're trying to get you to eat during the month of December, and then the month of January comes, and they're trying to get you to buy exercise bikes and treadmills and diet formulas, right? It's kind of like, okay, now do this. Do this now do this. And it's just like we think of, well, I'm going to get that. How many of you bought that exercise machine on TV and it went out to the curb, you know, just a few years later? We got one of those gliders. Karen said, oh, that looks really cool. That's why we bought one. And I think she used it maybe a couple times. I used it a couple times. And then it went under the bed. It sat under the bed for years. Finally, it went into the garage sale. No one bought it at the garage sale. Finally, it went out to the curb. We all have these great ideas of what we want to accomplish in life, what we want to accomplish in the new year. And in Christ, as Christians, we all have these great aspirations of what we are going to do for God. Think about when you first got saved. Think about when you were a young Christian. Think about when you were just new in the Lord. You just were going to take the world by storm. I was going to put my name out on the church door, and people were going to flock to hear me. I was going to be the next Bobby Graham. Oh, you never heard about Bobby Graham? I guess I made it. Here's what insecurity is. Listen, it's a lack of confidence or surety. Feeling that something is insecure or that you will not be received. It's feeling that you are not adequately guarded or sustained. Being unsafe, like making an insecure investment. It's a realization that we are not firmly fastened or fixed. It's like a hinge that is loose, a chair that is wobbly, a table that's uneven. You ever go to a restaurant and you sit down, that table goes, doo, 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 and we're getting another table because I know that my coffee's going over if I sit at that table. It means being emotionally unstable or not well adjusted. There are many insecure people in relationships or in marriages. And it means being deficient in the ability of feeling we're accepted. It's beset by fear and anxiety. And a group of strangers always feels no one really likes me, and no one really cares. And all of those things We go out, God, we're going to do great things for you. I'm going to love others. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to fulfill my purpose. And the enemy comes up and he knows just what buttons to push to drive us into that sense that we are worthless, that we are unusable, that we are not accepted, that we are not appreciated, that our gifts really don't measure up, that we really can't do it. And what starts out like this ends up like this. How do we overcome it? I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 35 to 41. And this is a story you've all heard before, but probably never thought about insecurity in light of the story. So the first thing we want to look at is we must learn to realign our focus. We must learn to realign our focus. Mark 4:35 says this, that evening Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side. Now, he had been preaching with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. He got done and he said, okay, here's what we're going to do now. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Jesus always, and in John it makes it very clear, he never said or he never did anything but what he heard the Father tell him to do. Some people wonder, well, why when we pray for the sick aren't 100% of the people healed? Sometimes we see somebody healed, sometimes we don't. How come when Jesus prayed for the sick, 100% of the time, everybody was healed? You ever wondered that? Because Jesus went only to the people that the Father sent him to and only prayed for the people that the Father told him to pray for. You say, well, how do you know that, Kirk? Well, it's by just deduction. When I read the scriptures and I get to Acts chapter 3 and I see there was a man who was born crippled from his birth, and every day he was laid at the gate, beautiful, at the temple. I assume that Jesus, in all the times that he went to the temple, walked by the gate, beautiful. And yet, in all of Jesus' ministry, he didn't come up to that man at that moment in time and say what Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. It wasn't the moment of time, it wasn't the specific calling for that person in Jesus' ministry, but it was in Peter, James, and John's. So Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. The Father told him, okay, Jesus, in their communion, go to the other side. You see, Jesus had a word from the Father. Terry and I were talking in the prayer room this year, and we said this year one of the most important things that we can focus on is hearing from God. When we hear from God, we can move out in confidence. Jesus heard from the Father perfectly. We don't, but he did. And Jesus said, let's go to the other side. That was what the Father told him to do. The disciples, all they heard was Jesus say, let's go to the other side. They didn't grasp it as a call from the Father. I can tell you things until, I can preach things until I'm blue in the face. I can stand on my head. I can do everything I can within my power to share with you from the depth of my soul the truth of God's word, but I want to tell you, it doesn't mean anything until the Holy Spirit turns a light on in your heart. It just is the word of Kirk until the Holy Spirit does that and it becomes the word of the Father to you by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:1-2 says, God's promise that we may enter into this place of rest, this place of blessing, this presence that we talked about this morning, where all our provision is, this blessing stands still. It's secure. But we're afraid that some of you think that you won't enter the place of his rest. We have heard the same good news that your ancestors heard, but the message didn't help those who heard it in the past because they did not believe. Now, insecurity and doubt are two sides of the same coin. Doubt feeds insecurity, and security confirms doubt. And the Bible and all of God's promises and everything that God may be speaking to you this morning and in your life and for this year will mean nothing unless it's mixed with faith and you act on it. I'm going to say this to you again, and in my devotions this morning, if you read my devotional blog from this morning, my question was, why does God allow injustice in the world? And as I read about that and as I thought about that, he allows injustice, but the Bible says he hears the cry of the oppressed and he answers it. How does he answer it? He answers it through you and me. God has called you and I to be his hands and his feet in a hurting, dying world. It was Moses that he sent to the children of Israel to release their oppression. It was Jesus that he sent for all of us to break the oppression of sin that we all faced. It was Christians in the 1800s and even before who began to speak against the evils of slavery in a nation that was divided that broke that terrible, awful sin in our land. And it will be Christians that speak for the sanctity of human life louder and louder, not with violence, but with truth and with love, that will break the cycle of abortion in this land. It's going to be God's people who answers the call for the oppressed. The second thing we need to realize as we go to number B is that we must mix it with faith. But here's one thing about insecurity that we forget. We're all in the same boat. See if I'm back in control. There we go. It's working again. Thank you. We're all in the same boat. Mark 4:36 says, leaving the crowd, they took Jesus along in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. You know, I never thought that I would get something big out of this line. There's a sermon, other boats were with him. But let me tell you something that is so significant. You'll see why in a moment. It's noteworthy that there were other boats with him. The enemy uses insecurity to isolate us. He tries to keep us in this separate bowl of thinking that no one understands us. No one knows what I'm going through. No one really cares. And when we're insecure, we do one of two things. We either shrink back. Notice the inversion. Here's a large bowl with a little tiny fish. Or we get aggressive and combative. Now, I've seen that in my life on both spectrums. When I'm insecure, I'll either withdraw in my shell, I will become smaller within the realm of my existence, or I'll become obstinate and angry, and I'll fight back, thinking that I'm much larger than I really am. Or more important than I really am. When you know the truth, and someone comes to you with untruth, if you're secure, did you ever see Jesus berate a true sinner who was seeking? The only person that Jesus criticized or judged was the religious hypocrite, who blocked people from really coming to the grace and mercy of God. He never berated, he never rebuked, he never had strong words. You never read a woe like you do the Pharisees and scribes. You never read of that to the tax collectors and publicans and harlots and sinners that Jesus reached out to in his ministry. You never read that. You read compassion and love and concern, and you read words of redemption, because he was totally secure. Why could he go and eat with sinners when the Pharisees couldn't? Because when the Pharisees got with sinners, it just wigged them out. They just couldn't handle it. Well, these people didn't wash their hands. Oh no, they're drinking alcohol. Oh my gosh, they just cussed. They said a cuss word. Mommy! Jesus went in. He ate with them. He talked with them. He interacted with them. It didn't bother him. Why? Because he was fully secure in the Father. He wasn't insecure. Once we fall into this trap, then here's the next thing we do. We compare ourselves to others, and then the enemy loves us. This is what the enemy loves, to isolate us first. Note, I said this all my life. I'm going to say it again, and I just pray the Holy Spirit breathes on this in your life. Watch this in your life. When you feel like you want to pull away and just be alone, that's not God. Unless it's for a time just of intercessory prayer. When you don't want to fellowship with people anymore, when you don't want to be with people anymore, when you think no one understands anymore, and you pull away and you isolate yourself, then the enemy's trying to get you right where he wants you, and then what he'll do is he'll start comparing yourself to others, and he loves to help you do that. And we begin to look at ourselves and we go, well, wow, I'm not like that, or wow, I'm not as good as that, or wow, I'm better than that person, wow, I'm worse than that person. And you get into this whole comparison thing and you kill yourself and you feed the insecurity. 1 Corinthians 10:12-17-18 says, we wouldn't put ourselves in the same class with or compare ourselves to those who are bold enough to make their own recommendations. Paul says, certainly. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves to themselves, they show how foolish they are. Whoever brags should brag about what the Lord has done. It isn't the person who makes his own recommendation who receives approval, but the person whom the Lord recommends. So whenever you begin to compare yourselves with other people, you're on a slippery slope. That kills pastors. You know, most pastors never make it, never finish in the ministry. About 10 to 20%, I forget what the figure is, it's really low, of pastors who started in the ministry when they were young finish when they are old. Most of them check out, resign, end up selling insurance or cars or doing something else. And why is it? One of the biggest things that pastors do is they start comparing their congregation. They start comparing the size of their church. They start comparing everything. Well, how many hits did I get on my Facebook page? Or how, you know, no one said anything about my message. And then you meet with other pastors. Yeah, everyone came up to me and said, brother, that was the best message I ever heard in my life. Oh, no one ever says that to me. And you start comparing yourselves with one another. And you just start devaluing your gifts, devaluing your purpose, devaluing your worth until you're ready to check out. It happens with pastors, it happens with Christians, it happens in marriages, it happens in relationships, it happens at jobs. The most freeing thing to really realize is what you can do and what you can't do. I know what I can do, I know what I can't do. And when you realize that and embrace that in your life, it sets you free. When I was a young man, I thought I had to know everything, every Greek word, every Hebrew word. If someone came to me with an insight that I didn't know, I got all insecure. I don't know that. They're going to think I don't know anything about the Bible. And so I'd mask myself as, you know, and I'd run to study so that I didn't, oh man, I'm free from that. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to compare ourselves with other people. When we're going through struggles, sometimes we compare ourselves with other people. We say, well, they don't understand what I'm going through because they haven't. No. Listen, we're all in the same boat. All of us. Look at the next point here. We all face the same struggles. We all face the same doubts. We all face the same setbacks. We all face the same fears. Mark 4:37-38. A violent windstorm came up. The waves were breaking into the boat so that it was quickly filling up. He was sleeping on a cushion in the back of the boat. So they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Now notice someone who's fully secure. Jesus is the epitome of being fully secure. He's back in the boat when there's a big storm, and it says he's laying his head down on a cushion and he's kicking back some Z's. And here are the disciples, what are they doing? They're freaking out. Have you ever been on a boat in the middle of the ocean when it's bobbing back and forth and it's really bad seas? Come on, let me see. Anybody here? Yeah. it's like the worst experience in your life. You know, I went out on one boat one time and I was calling to the porpoises for the whole day. I mean, the guy had rented the sailboat and he wasn't turning back because it cost him a lot of money to rent that sailboat. And the minute he left into the sea and it was bobbing up and down, I was calling to the porpoises that whole time for about 4 to 5 hours, going down, laying down, moaning, running back and forth, running back up to see if there were any more new porpoises, and going back in the bay. And you know, the whole time. And finally, when we hit the calm water, boom, I was okay. I wasn't secure by any means. We think that we're all alone. We think that no one else understands. But everyone was experiencing the same storm, but Jesus was resting and the disciples were relying on their own strength and ability or lack thereof. Here's the lie of insecurity. This is the lie that insecurity brings. Insecurity says this: I'm all alone, I'm inadequate, there's no way out. When you get trapped by insecurity, you start saying, I, everything's focused on yourself, and you think no one knows you, no one understands, no one can even empathize. You start to think, I have no ability. You start to think, I'm trapped. This situation will never change. There's no way out. And I want to tell you, that's all a lie from the enemy. All a lie from the enemy. The reality is, brothers and sisters, is that everybody's in the same boat. We've already covered that. I'm not going to belabor that. There's some scriptures there. But I want to let you know in Romans 3:23, in the God's Words translation, it says there's no difference between people. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there isn't any temptation that you have experienced which is unusual for humans. Do you know that everything you think you're going through that's totally unique, that no one else understands, other people have already gone through it? In fact, Jesus has gone through it himself. And so there was an old Christian song. I tried to Google it. I couldn't find the lyrics. I remember the chorus by memory, and this was the chorus. Some of you have heard it. The chorus went, "You're not the Lone Ranger. Don't listen to the devil's lie. You're not the Lone Ranger, so go ahead and dry your eyes. You know, Jesus walked this earth, and he's been right where you are. You're not the Lone Ranger after all." That's the truth. The enemy wants you to think you're the Lone Ranger. I know the mask is cool, guys, but it doesn't take you to a very cool place to be the Lone Ranger. So let's wrap this up. Our security doesn't come through self-worth. Our security comes through his worth. There's so much, we've taken so much of the world, so much pop psychology, and we brought it into the church, and we've just veneered it with scriptures so it looks spiritual. And I want to tell you something, you're never going to be secure if you're relying on finding the inner Oprah within. You know, that inner Oprah doesn't exist. Don't listen to the gospel of Oprah. There's only one place for you to be secure, and that's if your life is anchored to Jesus Christ. It's his worth, it's his life, it's his love, it's his sacrifice, it's his grace, it's his cross that will make you secure, and nothing else. Mark 4. 39 to 41 says, "Then he got up, Jesus, ordered the wind to stop, said to the sea, 'Be absolutely still.' The wind stopped blowing, the sea became very calm, and he asked them, 'Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith yet?' They were overcome with fear and asked each other, 'Who is this man? Even the wind and sea obey him.'" I wonder, do we really believe that Jesus is able to speak to the wind and the waves in our lives and just say it with a word, "Peace, be still"? I believe it. And I've seen it. I'm like the disciples. I go back to bailing and God reminds me, no, Jesus is in the midst of your boat. And all you need to do is find his worth and his power and his life. And he just stands up right in the middle of your boat and he says to your circumstance, he says to your broken relationship, he says to your wounded body, peace be healed. Peace be still. Peace be made free. Our security, it comes from Christ alone. In Christ alone, I take my stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's no other foundation. There's no other support. There's no other hope. It's not found in psychology. It's not found in Christology. It's not found in pithy sermons. It's not found in worship. It's not found in prayer. It's not found in going to church. It's not found in being a Sunday school teacher. It's not found in being a tither. All those things are important, but it's not found in any of those things. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. Alone. It's not found in a pastor or a speaker or an evangelist or a great author. It's found in Christ alone. So it brings us down. Worship team, come back up as we close. It brings us to this question. We have a choice how we're going to live our lives. Insecurity or security is a matter of focus or faith, and it's a matter of choice or courage. It takes faith and it takes courage. What is this thing about courage? Well, I want to tell you something. It's easy to stay where you're at. It's safe to stay where you're at. People say, Kirk, why is it that I knew my cousin or my brother or my relative or someone, my friend, they were in a bad marriage. You know, the guy or the girl was abusive. There was all sorts of crazy stuff going on. They got divorced and they went back and just a year later, 6 months later, they married the same guy, the same gal all over again. Didn't they see that? That happens many times with alcoholics. A person leaves someone who has a problem with alcoholism, ends up dating, marrying another person, not even realizing, but they have alcoholism. Why is that the case over and over again? Because it's easy for us to stay where it's comfortable, even when it's totally dysfunctional. Because we, listen, you doubt that? How many remember the show Frasier? Come on, that old show on TV. And the dad had that broken down recliner with duct tape on it. One day his son, who was a wealthy, successful psychiatrist, said, I'm buying my dad a new chair. You guys can watch this on TV Land or Netflix. And he goes, I'm buying my dad this new chair. He goes out and he spends thousands of dollars on this beautiful, deluxe, wonderful, custom leather recliner. I mean, it did everything. The dad came back and he said, I can't sit in that thing. The chair had gone to some service who picked it up. It was in some warehouse. They had to scramble to try to find it because the dad only felt comfortable in that broken down recliner, kind of green and brown, if I remember right, tweed, with duct tape on it. You see, we're more willing to stay in our brokenness, to stay in our sin, to stay in our fear, to stay in our insecurity than we are to rise up and walk toward Jesus Christ. It takes courage to stand up and walk toward the cross. And we've got to be courageous today if we're going to be free. Mark 4:40-41 says this, and this I close with. He asked them, why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith yet? And they were overcome with fear and asked each other, who is this man that even the sea obeys him? Let's stand as we close.
Lord, you're the all-important. light. Oh, road to see the starry host, declare your glory. Glory in the highest. Oh, glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God. Light of the world, the bright and morning star, your name will shine for all to see. Glory in the highest. Oh, glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. And no one else could ever come
come and we bow our hearts before you this morning. And we want to be those who walk in faith and courage before you. And so, dear ones, listen, I want to give you this charge. It may sound strange at first, but hear me out. When the enemy rushes in like a flood, which he will, to begin to accuse you, he'll say something to you like this: you're not worthy. You're inadequate. You're not up to the task. You can't do it. I want you to agree with him quickly and say, listen, you're right. I'm inadequate, but he is adequate within me. I can't do it, but He can do all things in me and through me. Yes, I sinned, but I have an advocate with the Father that when I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You're right, enemy. I've got nothing within me that makes me secure, but I have one within me that makes me completely secure, and it's Christ alone. And I tell you, with that word, He will flee from you. None of us stands within our own strength here this morning. Let him who stands take heed lest he falls. The minute you start to lean on your own strength, you're going down. We stand in Christ and in his completed work, and we are free. And that's why we cry out, glory in the highest. As we sing this last song, if there are altar prayer team members here with us this morning, come forward as we're going to dismiss with a charge. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I worship you.
is holy, holy.
Holy, and you said, be holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. And I say, I'm a man of unclean lips, and you say, I've sent my son to die for your sin so that you could be set free and live in the freedom and the power of my love. As you're here this morning, and if you have never made Jesus Christ the center of your life, I'm not talking about believing in God. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about even reading the Bible. I'm talking about making Jesus Christ the very center of your life, the Lord of your life, the King of your heart. And you say, well, I'm just not worthy. I can't do that. Just like Isaiah, your head is hanging down and your arms are hanging down. And he comes and he says, no, through my son, you can come. The most courageous thing you'll do is come and say, I want to make Jesus the center of my life. If you're here this morning, you've never done that, when I dismiss you, there'll be people up here to pray with you and agree with you to make that a reality, to become that kind of person who lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Christian, I want to tell you this morning, whatever it is that's been holding you back, whatever it is that's been isolating you, whatever it is that's been breathing words of insecurity, inadequacy, inferiority, whatever else you want to add to that, let that be broken in your life and say, yes, I'm all those things in myself, but I am greater than those things in Christ who lives in me. Lord, let this be a year where we rise up in courage and we don't wonder about the one who's stilling the waters, but we marvel and we rejoice and we embrace the one who calms the very seas that we face ahead of us. So whatever commitment God is calling you to make this morning, be quick and make it. As I dismiss you, if you need to make Jesus the center of your life or any other prayer need, come to the altars quickly. If there's someone being prayed for, sit down and just wait. They'll pray for you. Just take time to do the business God is calling you to do. And now receive the benediction, the blessing that God speaks over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Be dismissed in the love, in the joy, and the freedom we know in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.